Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, creamy baby sticky seeds with 50 as a popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody! Welcome to Doug Loves Movies. The mostly weekly podcast recorded in front of a live audience at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in Los Angeles, California, and occasionally in other cities. More details about road shows coming soon. But if you live in LA, be sure... Does this sound natural? But if you live in LA, be sure to come out to see me and Larry. Stop being an asshole, Shelley Zerner, doing a live commentary throughout Friday the 13th 3D at Cine Family Theater on Fairfax on Monday, May 24th. Some of you might be listening to this on Monday, May 24th, so get it together. 2010 is the year, of course. It won't just be me and Larry, actually. There might be... I will make sure there will be a special surprise guest as well. So follow me on Twitter for more details. Then I wrote here on my notes, my opening of the show notes, I wrote, joke, question mark. And that means... That's my note to myself, like, you know, you've got the rest of today to think of a joke to say right here. Some episodes I forget to say a joke right here, and others I do say a joke right here. And this one is really suspenseful because I didn't write a joke in, and I'm also not really thinking of any. Did anybody here see Robin Hood?
Yes.
For reals? Four people, so that's... I'm already impressed with this audience and its ability to discern that maybe the fifth movie with Russell Crowe and Ridley Scott will be just as disappointing as the last three. And that maybe that pairing isn't really that awesome. What'd you think?
It's awful.
It's awful. Another way I went, good. But still, see, that's the one I really listen to. The awful's like, that guy, he hates candy. But the guy that went, it's good, that was like, yeah, why are you even so half-heartedly trying to convince me? It's good. That's never, oh, I can't wait to see that. If you thought it was good. Now my voice changes. It's no big deal. It's good. Where are you going? Oh, you're in the catbird seat now. Wow, yeah, a latecomer come in, and she's in a prize-winning seat if ever there was one. Let's get our guests out here. They are going to be competing in the Len Maughton Game Tournament of Championships. That's what I call it now. Later in the show, they're going to be competing in that. But let's chat with them first. Why don't we? Please welcome Ricky Lindholm, Adam Scott, and Patton Oswalt. Wow. How did I do it? Well, I did it through a series of phone calls and texts.
I got an email.
Oh, yeah, email. I only can email Adam. We're at that state. I have your phone number, but for some reason, email seems to be your jam.
Cut it out.
That's how I get a hold of you. I attack Patton on all fronts, every way that I can communicate with him.
Could you give me the
smoke
email?
Signals in the valley. I do that.
I need the email address of the 60s Italian science fiction movie. You got these mic stands. I want to send them a thank you note. That was very nice for them to loan.
This whole set is Roger Corman
fantastic.
Made the whole set. Yeah, it's those mic stands are fun. They look also kind of like Pixar movies about to begin.
I just want to be a lectern.
I like making it exciting for the listeners. Like, oh, I got to go see it live now just to see those crazy microphones that they talk about every
time.
These
are worth actually seeing live, these mic stands.
Yeah. Ricky Lindholm.
I like the table.
Yeah, it's a nice table too, right? Ricky is the one half. She's the Garfunkel half of Garfunkel and Oates, a very popular comedy folk duo. Yeah. Very, very entertaining act that they have. Act? That's not the right word for it.
We're an
life.
Act.
You have an entertaining life.
We're a joke band. I hate when people call us that.
Hey, sing some of your spoofs.
Yeah.
And Adam Scott is here. He's back after an amazing... He was just here 3 weeks ago, I think. And totally took down the entire Party Down crew. We had two other dudes from Party Down, and Adam obliterated them in this game. So he's back already. And I just flew back from Chicago. I was in Peoria before that. And here I am. So thank Jesus. Peoria made me religious. Because that's the only way you can get out of there.
And it made you white.
No, I had a great time in Peoria. Shout out to them. But on the flight home... Leap Year was on, and I had not realized the last time he was on the program that Adam is one of the stars of Leap Year, because that was a plane movie for me. I knew that it would be on planes, so I waited. And I got my just reward. I got to see it.
Yeah.
And
you're welcome.
And Lithgow is in that. John Lithgow's in it.
Yeah, he was. I actually have a pretty cool Lithgow story.
I'd love to hear it, because you know we're trying to get him on the show. He's now, his son is saying, well, he's old, give him some time.
Yeah.
I'm like, how much time do we have? If he's old and a serial killer, we got to get him while we can.
He's not that old, is he? How old is he?
I don't know, but his son, you know, his son is
son's three,
interesting,
so he's
dude. His son's name, I've tried to ask him, and he explained it to me and it still didn't make any sense to me, but his name on Twitter is Newt Gingrich, but Newt is spelled N-O-O-T. But like, why is a young man making Newt Gingrich jokes on Twitter?
He's getting ahead of the retro curve, maybe?
I don't know. Anyway, so tell your story about Lithgow.
He's very sweet. You were just saying backstage, what a sweet guy he is.
He seems extremely nice.
Yeah, he's very nice. So we were on the Leap Year set in Ireland, and he was, you know, telling stories and being really cool and everything. And then we had a break. It was like a lunch break or something. This story sucks. So I was sitting there, and he walked.
Did you remember thinking that as it happened? This is going to be a horrible story, but it's got Lithgow in it.
Story. So I was sitting there, and he walked. I hadn't seen him in a while. He walked over, and he's like, "Ah!" He sits down, and he goes, "That felt great." And I was like, "Oh, what were you doing, John?" And he goes, "Well, I have this one-man show coming up in New York. When I'm done with this, I'm going to go do this one-man show, but I haven't rehearsed it in a while. So I just did it for Charlie over there. He was sitting over there. I just did my show for him. I just had to get it out of my system." And so he had taken an extra aside and sat them down and performed his one-man show.
Wow, I'm going to have to figure out a way to impress Mr. Lithgow with the boundaries that occur when you're on my podcast.
Right.
There is hardly any, there's barely time for that stupid story, let alone his whole new show that he wants to mount. Or should I just step aside and let him do it?
He's going to want to perform it for each and every person in the audience individually.
Oh, that'd be great. You guys can line up after.
Do you want to hear another cool story from the set of Leap Year?
Did you guys laugh and laugh and laugh about how it's coming up? It was coming out in a year that doesn't even have Leap Day. Like, that's what the marketing, right? Should have been tied to that.
I don't know.
Who was it was saying they saw it on a plane and they could
Paul F. Tompkins on the podcast. And
he said he knew every beat of the story based on, and what he figured out watching it was that your character was, you know, kind of shitty.
Yeah, he said he watched it without the sound and was able to predict the whole thing, and generously didn't mention my name while he was saying, and then that one character, the asshole rich guy.
Yeah, he didn't say your name there. I thought that was pretty sweet of him.
He was either very sweet or I was kind of insulted. Like, at least say me and say I was
maybe
super
he
shitty.
Thought it was Giovanni Ribisi or
perhaps,
something.
Perhaps.
Sometimes it's hard to remember those, but you were good in it. No, I thought
what,
I watched
whatever.
It with the sound on. I didn't do that. I'm no snob. Although I will. Admit,
I watched
I will
it
admit.
With just the sound, and I thought it was great. I really loved it.
You turn everything into a podcast.
Exactly,
you just listen to it.
I saw
it sounds
the first
like a pratfall just happened.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds like her car just crashed in a ditch,
exactly.
And we're going to be a good 20 minutes of talking about the car being in the ditch. What a romantic movie. I saw Invictus with the sound off, and as far as I could tell, Matt Damon's team won, and then Nelson Mandela got out of jail because the right team won.
Spoiler alert.
I think we were on the same airline because I watched Invictus in Leap Year too, just like last week on Delta.
Really? No.
Oh.
It's just a thing. 3 or 4 months after a movie's done theatrically, if it's PG-13 or lower... you're going to see it on a plane. Like, I don't watch Pixar movies in theaters anymore because that's going to be on the plane in a few months. And it'll be delightful.
So no Human Centipede won't be on American Airlines anymore? Because I didn't see it in the theater.
Human Centipede, the United Airlines, as a cost-saving measure, they want to try that with the passengers. You get one bag of peanuts
exactly.
The first guy.
Boom, there you go.
It goes through the human centipede.
And the last one just sits in the restroom, and there's perfect. We got to give him one magazine. He just describes everyone behind him.
Are you kidding?
Alec Baldwin is giving us 3 great days in Boston. Day one.
Are you going to see Human Centipede, Patton?
You know what's really sad? This is how my life is right now. I'm more excited and interested in Human Centipede than I am in Iron Man 2. I'd rather, because Iron Man 2 is like, well, more robots than Human Centipede. Oh, mouth just to an anus? All right. That might actually get me to leave the house.
I'd like to compromise. If the first person in the Human Centipede was Scarlett Johansson, then I'd be most interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
Over those other two things.
What if Iron Man 3, they should stitch like 4 suits together and make them...
Well, that's what, you know, spoiler alert, Patton, but, you know, the whole movie, Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury, he's begging him to join up with the Avengers through the whole movie, it's not determined by the end of the movie whether or not he's actually going to join up with the Avengers. It's like, why do we need to see this? This is like the backroom, boardroom shit that we don't need to see. We need to see suits flying around, shooting at each other.
Isn't the whole point of the hero's journey story is he gets the call, you refuse it, then you take it? You can't have a whole movie where Luke Skywalker's like, let me think a little longer about this. I think, look, my aunt and uncle got burned to death, and this planet does suck. However, I got to sell all these robots. I got to close the farm. I can't just get on a ship and go. I want to.
Let me put my chin on my prosthetic hand and think this over.
Let me just put some of these robots on Craigslist, see how much money I get, and then I'll see what I can do.
Let's see what happens when I put... Oh, I ruined it. I was about to talk about a character who's dead, and that would have been ridiculous. So, Patton, have you seen...
Wait, you don't want to spoil the Star Wars movies? Or?
No. It wouldn't make sense for Luke Skywalker to say this, what I was going to say that he was saying, because Aunt Beru was already dead. So he couldn't make any money with her off on Craigslist because she's already out of the picture. So that's rude to say that about his dead mother. Good point.
Yeah, I've got a...
Jawas will be like...
I've got a dusty can of ashes if anyone wants to...
Welcome back to Nerd Talk. Ricky Lindholm and Adam Scott are nearby watching the Nerd Talk happen. They are Nerd Talk adjacent.
Wasn't I figured it out once that of those three prequels, wasn't the first and the second one, weren't they basically, it was basically two movies explaining like at most 7 minutes worth of storytelling. Like nothing fucking happens until the third movie, right?
Wow, I never thought of that. Yeah, it literally explains like three lines of dialogue. Like,
exactly.
Me and Anakin were good friends. Let's see that friendship for 5 hours.
Pull it out.
Really? I get the, you're friends. I don't need to.
Right.
No, let me show you my photo book. No, let's not. I don't want to look at all the picture you guys got together in the booth at the mall that makes it look like you're on a roller coaster together. That's boring. I don't need that.
But what about the lengthy argument about the stamp tax? Whatever the hell it was. Yeah. There's some sort of treaty.
Trade tariffs.
Yeah.
I was sitting in Attack of the Clones, and they're in the Senate again, say, we've got to attach an amendment to this thing. And my brother leans over and goes, this is like watching C-SPAN with fucking monster masks on. Like, that's exactly.
It's true.
Yeah. I never thought that it's 5 hours to explain two lines of dialogue.
Yeah,
in one movie.
Yeah. Not good.
Wow.
Not good.
There's fucking ETs in there and an ET.
ET.
The kid played with Star Wars toys. Fuck you guys. It all folds in on itself in a most unpleasant way. It's worse than the oil spills. Have you seen Troll 2, Patton Oswalt?
Oh, good lord, yes.
It's amazing, right? Because there's
very,
a documentary
very quickly,
now.
I was in a friend's house, and he was watching the movie Troll. And there's a scene where Michael Moriarty runs down a flight of stairs and trips over Sonny Bono.
So it's got real actors in it.
They actually real actors. And I was going, wow. I go, you know, a director had to, before that scene, say, okay, in this scene, Michael Moriarty's going to run down the stairs and trip over Sonny Bono. And then my friend said, you haven't seen the sequel to this. If you think this is bad, you got to. And then he put that in. Because at the time, it came in like a double DVD pack. And then we watch it, and I thought it was a movie that he and his friends had made, and it was some elaborate prank to like mess around with me.
It's really fun. Bad. I haven't seen Troll 2 in its entirety because what turned me onto it was I saw a movie called Best Worst Movie,
which is
where the little kid from Troll 2 grew up to make a documentary, and
which is so sweet.
Some of the players, but like the dude, the lead adult character actor in the movie
is a
dentist in real life, but also was clinging desperately to the success and the excitement around Troll 2 being the best worst movie ever made.
Did you see it as well, Patton, that movie?
I haven't seen the documentary, but when I was at Sundance 2 years ago, I got interviewed by this guy named Darren Ewing, it turns out he's a journalist now. He's the kid in Troll 2 who says, they're eating her, they're going to eat me, and then he does the longest, oh my God, and he interviewed me, and it was such a treat. I didn't realize it was him, and then what I didn't also realize, Troll 2 was filmed in Sundance. It was filmed in that... No, what's the town that they do the Sundance
film? Park City.
It was filmed
in... Oh, yeah, the movie's made in Utah, yeah.
It was filmed in Park City, Utah in 1989, the year that, like, Sex, Lies, and Videotape broke.
Right.
Well, Sundance needs to do a tribute. Like, all these other movies, they don't bring work to Park City.
Yeah, right.
Like, Troll 2 employed people and brought confused Italians to town. to make a whole
yeah, well, that's movie. Another great character in Best Worst Movie is the director is just super... He's one of those bad movie directors who's super deluded and, you know, thinks his stuff is great. And people are laughing, but a lot of them are taking it very seriously. This is kind of an approach to it. Like, the other people are laughing. They don't know. Like, no, they're all the people that are lining up to see
exactly.
a stupid movie.
Yeah.
But Best Worst Movie opens at the New Art here in Los Angeles. It's out this weekend, and then pops around all over the country. I hope to get some people involved in it on this show at some point.
I have Troll 2 at home, but I haven't watched it. Would you say Troll 2 first or watch Best Worst Movie?
I'd say watch the movie first.
Yeah.
Best Worst has to just pick scenes from Troll 2
to
illustrate points, and it seems like it's good to go all the way through.
And I got
to
say, every scene in Troll 2 does not work. Every single, and I've watched it twice now, just to go, did maybe like accidentally one thing, every single thing you see where it's starting to go,
yeah.
And it just beautifully, perfectly, miserably fails. They do not let a single scene work. They almost, it almost feels like they do reshoots, like, wow, I actually believed her. Let's go back and make sure. Yeah. Let's have something odd happen in the background for no reason to ruin this.
They're like Woody Allen, like they scheduled the reshoots ahead of time just to make sure it sucks.
Yeah.
Like the guy's catchphrase in the movie, the dentist, his catchphrase is something about hospitality. He keeps yelling about hospitality.
That's called hospitality, and we don't piss. No, you don't piss on hospitality.
Yeah, you don't piss on hospitality. That's his catchphrase. What? So they show the guy. Yeah. He'll be at the checkout counter at the grocery store, and he'll say to the girl behind the counter, did you see Troll 2? She's like, I think so. And he's like, I'm the one that says, and he says that.
Jesus.
That's what he says publicly. It's amazing.
Wow. And again, it you can tell in the scene that he says it in that even in context it absolutely doesn't work. He shouldn't be saying it, and it just makes everything 10 times creepier.
It is a shitty catchphrase.
Yeah, that's a shitty catchphrase. You don't piss on hospitality.
Don't piss on hospitality. Yeah. It's screaming it angrily.
Yeah, at a little kid who is just peed on a table full of food. For a reason.
Is that what happened?
There's a reason in the movie. He doesn't just a kid that's just I'm going to piss on hospitality. I think he knows that's a cardinal rule.
Yeah, yeah. And also, again, in the movie thinks that in the scene, this is that there's a reason for him to piss on it, but you watch and go, no, there was no reason for him to. You'll see
they
what
clearly
I mean.
Came up with the catchphrase first and then had to build to that.
What if they had to do the whole movie around that one? That guy, that Italian guy, you don't piss. Where's my pen? Where's my pen? I'll finish this tomorrow. This is the seed.
So, Ricky, do you have any idea how Lost is going to end? The season's coming up. Season ender is coming up.
I've never really seen Lost.
Series finale.
Well, Kate and I are supposed to do a song about Lost this Saturday here at UCB.
Wow.
And so I've been calling all my nerdiest friends and being like, you probably watch Lost, right?
Oh, you know what? Yeah. That'd be a fun song. Somebody did that with, they did a short film about a girl trying to explain the Star Wars trilogy only based on word of mouth. She's never seen any of the Star Wars movies, but she'd heard enough about it in pop culture that she was able to pretty much describe the whole story.
Yeah.
And you should do a song like that about Lost, like just the impressions you've gotten over the years. Like there's a fat guy who won the lottery, could be a lie.
Right. And there's, well, we might do one being like, why is there not more fucking on this island? Because all these people are hot and they're all dying. And it's like, why don't you just why are you taking your time with all these relationships? Just have sex and do the heroin and get eaten by the smoke monster. You
know? They kind of do though. I mean, they're kind of thrown in a cage at one point and told, we're going to kill you. And they're like, well, we might as well fucking get it on. And
right. And I feel I would be like that the whole time I was on the island though. If I was around all these super hot dudes, fuck it, you know?
Also,
you wouldn't be, how do we get off this island? You'd be, how do we get off on this island?
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Thanks for tuning into the Zoo Morning 103.
Yeah.
Are we throwing a
trip? We'll be right back after the weather.
What was your question about? You had a question, Adam, about I wanted to hear.
I was just going to say that, along with your observation about no one fucking except for a couple of times, also, all the dudes have jeans on. No one. Hurley's the only one that wears shorts. If I was trapped on the island, I would turn my jeans into shorts. But, Jack's walking around with jeans, 2 years in. It's like, dude, it looks fucking hot out there. And Sawyer has, cool, designer jeans with the big pockets.
They must have, the worst swamp ass on that island. Yeah. All those jeans. That's why no one's fucking, because you take the pants off and that fume hit. That's the smoke monster. It's all the swamp ass from the guy's crotches and asses. That's what that smoke monster is.
Mystery solved. There you go.
Locke is the only one that should wear pants because he can't feel anything in his legs anyway.
Right. It's true.
I haven't watched in 4 years.
That would be so. It would be so ballsy if in the final episode I stopped watching this season. Is if in the final episode the last shot is Bob Newhart waking up and he's like, oh man, again.
Or Bobby Ewing walking out of a shower.
Bobby Ewing, yeah.
Or they could all have a meal in a diner with Journey playing. So
wait, why did you stop watching this season?
I really loved the show, but then when I watched the opening episode of this season, I was like, oh, a healing pool. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, and I was happy to go with time travel and alternate dimension. There was, for some reason, the pool of water that they can drop dead characters into. I was like, that's the, because I've been in enough writing rooms where I've seen people just go, just have a fucking ray that makes people come back to life. I'm sick of being here till 2 a.m. eating Twizzlers and Kookaroo. Just healing pool. Let me go home. I can't miss another of my kids' recitals.
That's like the Rob Lowe thing in Thank You for Not Smoking, where he's like, well, just add a line like, thank God we invented that thing where they can smoke in space or something.
Yeah.
Done.
So many of those. Oh, wow.
Let's play a game. These are the champions, Tournament of Championships people. Patton Oswalt, Adam Scott, Ricky Lindholm, who performs well. You and Kate went together. You know, the first time I had you on, you were against two people, two against two. But then you played
Winter Olympics. Wasn't that the theme?
Yeah. And yeah. Then the next time we played, you played individually, and you both still did very well. So
yeah,
you worked together.
What
well.
What was the theme that time? I don't remember.
And separately, I forget.
Yeah.
It was a great one. I don't listen to this show. I'm kind of here when it happens.
I think the theme, I heard that one. The theme was shoes.
Movies that feature shoes. It was mostly Tarantino movies. Because you get a good look at the fucking shoes of all of his characters. Because that man has a foot fetish. All right. Is Dave Rath here? Sounded like him. Okay. I've opened up the app, the Leonard Maltin app, so we can play.
This well, you said that like that's a thing that would be on a famous game show. I have opened up the Leonard Maltin app. Our app contestants are blindfolded. Here we go.
Hey, I got an idea for future shows. If you guys are listening or here right now, anyone who's not listening or not here right now cannot participate in what I am about to say.
Wow, wait a minute. Are we in a time vortex right now?
I guess you could tell a friend, but anyway. You could share it over the internet or whatever. But the people that sit in the first three seats up here on the stage, they obviously got here early or early enough to get those seats because they know they might get picked for the game. If you could, at home, if you could write your name on a piece of paper and then tape it to your chest and then come and sit there, it'll make it a lot easier on... Because I think when people listen to the podcast, there's probably a little too much of Doug trying to memorize names for no real good reason. If you have them right there on your chest, bam, I'll know who it is.
This is the weirdest, most indirect way of communicating to someone anything I've ever heard.
They pick up on it, though. The listeners, people are listening.
It's like that scene in... It's almost like that scene in Frequency where he puts the note under the floorboards, totally. And in the future they find it.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta put my name on my... This is like a low-budget Frequency.
Next week, Doug there'll be Jim one Caviezel. Or two people. It may not be three contestants, but next week there'll be some people sitting right over here with their names on their chest, like Price is Right or whatever. And I'll look over and I'll go, Stacy, who do you want to have play for you? What's your name?
Victoria.
See, it's all fucked up already. Who would you like to have play for you, Victoria?
Patton.
Patton. All right, Patton, you're playing for Victoria. Yeah, what's your name, sir?
Steven,
who'd you like to have play for you, Ricky or Adam?
Adam.
All right, you sexist piece of shit. That's how I'm going to remember Steve. S. Sexist. Shit. Victoria.
Because she awesome picked a V. And she picked a big queen. What? What's this mic? Wow, that didn't go out, did it?
Ricky, do you accept Craig as your
I do. Hi, Craig.
She does. All right. Here we go. And try to remember all those names because I've moved on. Victoria Patton, Steve, Adam, Craig, Ricky.
Damn.
Yeah, I did it. These are, as we played last week, we played the films of John Lithgow. It was very challenging because he's been in a lot of movies that you don't remember John Lithgow was in them, and or that you don't remember at all. And some classics. He's been in, some classics are in here too. I didn't avoid the best ones. Let's start down there with Ricky. Would you like a movie from 2006, 2002, or 2000? Straight up.
2000.
Bam. Why I said that? Doesn't mean anything. 3 stars Leonard gave this movie that I never saw.
Great.
He says it's a funny follow-up to another movie that I never saw. He says the settings are colorful and the story is both funny and sentimental. Was followed by another one in this series. And there are, I know, right? There's 13 names.
Oh, God.
Start the bidding, Ricky Lindholm.
That sounds really hard.
Garfunkel.
I can do it in 9 names.
Nice. Let's come down here to Patton Oswalt. Pass it the same way you pass a joint. 13,
yeah. 9 names. I can do it in 5.
Please speak into the microphone, sir.
I'm sorry. I can do it. Hey, could you? I want to do the lawyer thing. Would you like to cover the thing? I can do it in 5.
Adam,
I can do it in 4.
4 names is Adam Scott. You might know him from Party Down on Stars with a Z. He's also a new cast member on Parks and Rec.
With a Z.
NBC.
I think he should name that movie.
Here we go. 4 names for Adam Scott.
Am I allowed to hear the hint you threw
all that
out there
stuff again?
Again?
Yeah, it was all worthless. 3 stars. Len gave it 3 stars. I never saw it. It's a part of a trilogy that I never saw any part of, and the settings are colorful and the story is both funny and sentimental.
Okay.
The names are...
Can I hear it again?
The names are Dan Castellaneta, who we all know as Homer Simpson, Tim Curry, as we all know, Frankenfurter, Casey Kasem, who we all know as... Scooby's friend Shaggy, and Debbie Reynolds. That doesn't even seem like that should exist.
Sounds like you made that up on the spot, like lying to a homicide detective. Yeah, I saw a movie with Casey Kasem and Debbie Reynolds, and wasn't there at all.
Adam Scott, do you have any idea?
Sort of.
Ooh.
Do you ever have people like talk it out like they do on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
You can talk it out as long as you're not discussing it with anyone else. You can say your thoughts if you want.
My thoughts, can I just share my thoughts?
Yeah, share.
The thoughts I'm having are...
Show us your logic.
I feel like it's the second chapter in the Santa Claus trilogy. But I don't.
There was a Santa Claus trilogy?
Yeah, there's a Santa Claus trilogy. But I also feel like
There's a movie called Santa Claus that had Dudley Moore in it.
No, the Tim Allen trilogy.
Oh, Santa Claus.
The Santa Claus.
You were saying Santa Claus. But you don't pronounce it that way unless you're one of the Marx Brothers.
Okay, it's Shrek 2?
No.
Fuck.
John Lithgow is the next name. I don't know why anyone would know this. Michael Bell, Susan Sarandon, Melanie Chartoff, Jack Riley, Keith Susie, Chevy Chase, Cheryl Chase, not Chevy. Cheryl, you know Cheryl, she falls down too. And Christine Cavanaugh, and E.G. Daly's the lead character.
What?
E.G. Daly.
So some squeaky
voice girl from Pee Wee's Big Adventure, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a curveball. I gave you a movie, and it's called Rugrats in Paris.
Ah!
The movie. Rugrats in Paris, the movie.
Were you onto that at all? Or?
I was also going to say Shrek 2.
You were?
I was totally going
to
say.
Well, you went the animation route, so you guys aren't.
Yeah. Because once you hear, no offense to Dan, because I love him, but when you hear his voice, you just go, up. Oh, this would be a cartoon.
Yeah.
And E.G. Daly is also a big giveaway, although we didn't get that part, did we?
No, we didn't.
Yeah, I'll name it 13 names. Go ahead. I'll name it in 13 names and a title. Go ahead.
Ricky gets to pick the year again.
Oh.
Did Ricky get that point?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, she did get the point. Then Patton gets to pick the year.
Well, Craig, you got a point then.
You did get a point.
Yeah, Craig.
Passing it over to Craig, What are my choices of years?
Your choices are the aforementioned 2006 and 2002, plus a 1993, if you want to go back that far.
I'm going to go 93.
Pat Nozzle says 93.
Yeah.
There we go.
Meh.
3 stars from Len. Maybe a little generous, if you ask me. But it was all right.
That's it?
Well, there'll be more.
You got anything else?
I always skim through it, because I don't want to give anything. I don't want to say anything that's a giveaway.
Right,
and
right,
so
right,
far,
right.
his whole description is shouting the name over and over again.
Yeah. This movie will make your feet feel loose. I want to do that.
All right, here we go. I'll take the names out of it.
All right.
Len says it's well cast and well crafted, though the suspense starts to peter out towards the finish. And this is from, what year did we say it was? 1993. He gives it 3 stars, and you have 14 names, one of which will be Mr. John Lithgow. How many names can you get it in, Patton Oswalt?
I can get it in 2 names.
Come down for the live shows if you love spit takes.
Let's do this also. For the listeners at home, Doug has just done a spit take. Enjoy Marlboro cigarettes.
Okay, so Adam Scott, Patton Oswalt says he can get it in 2 names. Where do you stand?
You know,
this is a tough place.
A tough place because I feel like I don't want to fuck up Patton's guess and like by saying one name and then fucking it up. I'm talking you through my process again.
I'd like
to hear your process.
Turns out this is totally annoying. But I'm going
to
say...
No, I listen
I'm
to your commentary
say,
on all your movies, too.
I'm just going to say I am one name.
I've seen the name, and I'm impressed. Ricky's...
Name that movie.
Gotta say name that movie again. She might take this whole thing down just by making you name movies.
But doesn't Patton
get
another...
Wait, don't I get
another...
to underbid him?
No. Ooh.
That's not how it works.
Is that it?
I get to underbid him.
She can underbid.
That's fine.
It's got to come all the way back around to you.
All right.
It's a tricky game.
Mm-hmm.
One name.
Okay.
Adam Scott, do you want the clues again?
Just give me the clues 2 more times.
He gives it 3 stars.
No, it's okay.
3 stars he gives it.
Okay.
He says it's well cast, well crafted, well cast, well crafted. The suspense starts to peter out towards the finish.
Is it well crafted?
Tends to peter out towards the...
Peter isn't...
It peters out. That expression to me just makes me think of a penis. When something's petering out, that's just like a dude can't fuck his lady.
Yeah.
This movie totally can't fuck you towards the end.
You would hear that in a PA's headset on a porn set, like, peter's out, we got a peter's out, get the fluffer in here.
Are you gonna pay the fluffer? Okay. Adam Scott, your one name is Jake Weber. I told you it was going to be tough. The old Jake Weber. With one B. But it's in Jake. It's really weird.
If I get this wrong, I'll feel like an idiot because I think Patton knows for sure what it is, but I'm just going to guess that it's Raising Cain.
No.
God damn it.
You're a fierce competitor. Patton?
Oh, I was going to say Raising Cain.
No, you weren't.
I really was. I thought it was Raising Cain.
Really?
Yeah. What year was Raising Cain?
I thought it was like in the early 90s.
It might be 92, though.
Yeah, it might be. All right, well, Ricky's officially our winner then, with 2 points.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought it'd be, I thought it'd be more competitive.
Well, wait a minute, are we doing 3 movies? Or there's no way you can win now.
Yeah, you got first person to 2. Usually gets a little bit more suspenseful than that. But wow. The three of you worked out this system where one would always bid ridiculously low, exactly. Right in front of Ricky.
What was the movie?
I would like to share with you the rest of the names so that people can play along and try to guess. Jump in when you think you know it. Cynthia Nixon was in this movie.
What?
I bet she played a bitch.
Anthony Heald was in this movie, and he definitely played. Or no, I'm confusing him with another guy. But he's usually a bad guy.
Well, he usually plays like a stuck-up kind of weasel.
Snooty weasel. Yeah. Yes. John Lithgow was in this movie. Mm-hmm. Hume Cronin. Stanley Tucci, Robert Culp, R.I.P., William Atherton,
another snooty weasel,
James B. Sikking, cast.
It's all like,
it's all people. It's all like dressed up in suits, like they're lawyers or some shit. Tony Goldwyn, John Hurd, Sam Shepard.
Wait a minute. I think I know what this is.
The next two are the giveaway names.
Yeah, no. Oh, I know it. I know it. I know it.
What is it? What is it?
Pelican Brief?
Yes, that's right. Patton Oswalt gets the nothing prize.
No.
That was a daring, bold wager you made there, too.
God,
names.
He does so many movies.
Like, I never would have remembered that he was in that.
What two names were you expecting to hear on Raising Cain? That's what I'm curious about. I'm going to look that up right now.
Well, didn't he play a double role in that? So we hear Lithgow twice.
Yeah.
Well,
that would give it away right there.
Not with just two names. You only
John Lithgow and Mr. John Lithgow.
Lolita Davidovich was the female lead of that one. That was a good movie.
That was really groovy.
She was in a couple movies around that time. She was in that thing about being a stripper.
Blaze.
Wow, was
Somebody
that?
Always goes,
wow, is Waylon Flowers' ghost haunting this place? That was. Wait a minute, there's two Denzel Washington and John Lithgow movies.
What's Ricochet? The other one?
Ricochet and.
Yeah, they like working together. They like black and white.
They're.
Go together nicely. Let's give some prizes out. Who won the prizes?
Craig.
Prizes.
Sorry, Victoria.
You get a copy of Unbalanced Load, my second CD that's available, on the internet and stuff. You also get a Too Drunk to Tweet t-shirt in a beautiful new purple and blue design.
Yeah.
It's got a drunk Twitter bird on there, and you look really manly in it, I'm sure. And then, just to make it, this shirt's probably a little cooler for a dude to wear. Last week, Ruzi gave me a shirt that says government on it, and afterwards he's like, I hope you're a medium, and I'm like, I hope so too. Someday on my deathbed, when I'm dying or something, I'll be able to slip into the government shirt, so I'll give it to you. You look like you fit you better. So congratulations on all your amazing prizes. Yeah, I went down to the UCB Theater to win some crap Doug doesn't want. It was fantastic.
Doug's got to make room for more DVDs.
Yeah, that's right. Anything you guys want to plug? Any plugs you need to
when
make?
When does this show upload?
It comes out a few days after we do it, so...
I'll be on I Love Movie. I'll be on Doug Love Movies in a couple days on your iTunes. So, did I just say Doug Love
Movies?
Well,
that's some trippy time travel shit right there.
You got to do a caveman edition. Doug Love Movie. Just one. Where it's all just...
keep talking.
All right. Hey, Adam Scott, what do you have coming up? Obviously, you're coming back on Parks and Rec.
Yeah, I'll be on that on Thursday night.
Oh.
But I just want to reiterate that I want people that I just like the idea of saying it into the microphone, it right. going onto a recording device, yeah. then that content being put up onto a giant server, then that going to iTunes, and then it being downloaded to someone's iPod, and then they listen to it, or listen to it on the computer or whatever, and then put the name tag on. Like, all of that to get the name tag.
It's going to happen. I wish you were going to be a guest again next week.
I may just come to see if it happens.
I just want to, again, thank you for sharing your thought process on that whole thing. That's
on
fantastic.
The set of Leap Year, I was just sitting there, and John Lithgow, he came back.
Oh! That was Paul F. Tompkins' impression of John Lithgow last week. He just went, oh!
Party Down 10 on Fridays on Stars.
Yeah. You're all over the place. You're in some commercial about sports.
You're like a great...
Yeah, baseball commercials.
Yeah.
You're like a young John Lithgow. You're about to be in everything. You're in everything. There's going to be an Adam Scott edition of this game in the future when they preserve your head and they
we could do it right now.
A mind wire coming right
fucking
out.
1.5 stars, torque.
That's unfair. That 1.5 stars.
Yeah, I think it's much more fun than that. It's the Troll 2 of movies called Torque. My plugs. I'm going to be Friday, May 28th. I'm going to be at the House of Blues in San Diego with my buddy Graham Elwood. And you got a House of Blues date coming up this summer, right?
I'll be there the Patton? Thursday before Comic Con at the House of Blues in San Diego. And there's going to be a lot
July
of a guest. And any of my friends that are down at the Comic Con, you can pretty much expect them to drop by the
That's
show.
That's going
to
be a great show. So my show, really I'm just going to have Graham Elwood. So thanks.
Nah,
a lot.
It's not really. It's a wait
thanks
for mine.
For making yours yeah, it's not. So much more awesome yeah. than mine on May 28th.
By the way, can I just say, if anyone in the audience has not seen Big Fan yet, you should run, not walk.
We're big fans, here at Doug Loves Movies. Yeah, it's great. And your movie.
Patton Oswalt is it.
And I enjoyed your movie that you were in, Adam, The Precious Kind. Right? What's it called?
The Vicious,
Vicious Kind. Precious Kind.
Not Precious. It's a
Precious Kind. Yes.
It's a sequel to Precious.
Kind of
she
movie.
Meets a she meets a white guy when she steals his chicken.
Independent Spirit Award nominated actor, ladies and gentlemen, with a scruffy, intense beard.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And a fur collar on the jacket.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah, with my dad.
And a lot of
big
cigarettes.
Big chip on your shoulder. Big chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Character.
Not the lighthearted, fun Adam Scott that the ladies seem to like. This is the gritty, indie Adam Scott that the kind of overweight dudes that look like my character and Big Fan like.
Yeah, that's right.
What, Ricky, did you say you had a plug of some kind?
Well, when does this air? Thursday?
A few days from now.
Okay, well then yesterday I played at Largo Wednesday the 19th.
Oh, how did that go? Was that good?
It was amazing. Totally sold out.
Cool.
Sorry you missed it.
But what about...
So there'll be another time though, probably, right?
Yeah, well, we're doing the Lost Show on the 22nd here at UCB.
Hey,
and
what
then...
about the 2 days ago when you were on the Tonight Show? How do you think
That was Tuesday, 2 days ago.
Oh my God.
So go back and watch that online, Tonight Show. We played a song called My Self-Esteem's Not Low Enough to Date You.
And you looked right at Jay the whole time, right?
Yeah. We looked at Michael Douglas's balls, which were like hanging out through his pants. I'm not even kidding. If you watch the show Tuesday, if you go back on to Tuesday and watch the show, he was wearing a linen suit, his legs were spread, and you can see clearly his penis and balls the entire interview.
Oh,
I did not.
But they were hanging out of the cuff of his jeans, which is like, wow. That's some old man balls.
We took so many pictures on the monitor because it was just amazing. And he would lift his hands and he would move and they would just move around. Yeah.
It's like he always said, greed is good, or something like that. Thanks to my guests, Patton Oswalt, Ricky Lindholm, Adam Scott. As always, I think she said Will Kurdish is a shithead, and then the other guy, old school, appreciate it, dude, Steve, he said Willem Dafoe is a shithead.
Yeah.
Makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart.
welcome to the new season. See you next week.